And here we are, where my notes are larger than my Bible. But as many of you are aware, we are beginning today a new series. And as I mentioned earlier in the service, the series title is Find It All in the Gospel of John. Because you can find everything that pertains to spiritual life in its seminal or seed form, at least, in the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John is a launching pad for further study because I don't want you to get the impression that we are suggesting that the other 65 books of the Bible are unnecessary. They are very necessary, because there are details about each of the subjects that we're going to be looking at in due course that are to be found elsewhere in the Bible that you won't find in the Gospel of John. More detail and important detail. So we don't want to give the impression that the other books of the Bible are unnecessary. They're very necessary. And God has given us from Genesis to Revelation everything that we need to know and that he wants us to know in this age in which we're living. We have a completed written revelation, and it's a high privilege that we have such. Nevertheless, I want to begin today's message about life, L-I-F-E. That's the whole title of the message today, because I want to let you know that life is what this gospel is about. This particular edition that I'm looking at has as its subtitle The Plan of Life. And that's what the Gospel of John is all about. But I'm going to tell you a little story, and this is mostly for the younger folks in the audience. Back in the dark ages, when Ma Bell ruled the earth. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about, but that's the name we gave to Bell Telephone. And Bell Telephone ruled everything communications-wise. You have to understand, younger people, that this was a day when, in fact, if you go back far enough, you did not even own your telephone. It was owned by the telephone company, and you simply rented it from them. And so now we're not going back to quite as far back as Mayberry. For those of you familiar with the old Mayberry program, you didn't ring up, I can't remember the operator's name. Sarah? Okay, Sarah. You didn't ring up Sarah on the telephone and get her to dial the number for you. They allowed you to dial your own number. But in any event, this was a day before instruments like this were invented. You know, today everybody's got, and this is an ancient one. This is a style that hardly anybody has anymore. But my point is that you didn't have a personal telephone, and you didn't carry it in a shirt pocket or your purse or anything like that. You had to, telephone booths everywhere, and you had to, if you were away from home, you had to go to a telephone booth and put coins in the telephone there, and then you could dial your number and go through all that. But my point is, and that here at Grace Bible Church 30 years ago when we first came here, that's what we had as well. We had an instrument, I think just one in those days, in the office back here. And if you wanted to get in touch, well, that was the way. But what I'm really getting at is that during this time, there were books of telephone numbers. They were called telephone directories. You understand, this is pre-Google and all that kind of stuff. You couldn't just look it up on your phone. And even here in Valdosta, we had an extensive directory, and it was divided into two parts. There were the white pages and there were the yellow pages. And the white pages listed essentially your personal phone numbers, your home phone. The yellow pages were pages of, and they were called that, because they were yellow. All right? And that was where you went with your advertising, etc. Grace Bible Church had a little ad in the yellow pages here in Valdosta in that day. Now, you know, if you lived in a city, even a city like Birmingham, Alabama, where we came from when we came here, it was a pretty thick directory. We're not even talking about New York. I wouldn't even want to think about the New York telephone directories or Miami or Atlanta or name other big cities around the country. But the point is that there were yellow pages, and that's where the advertising was placed. Now, you say, are you going through all this? Well, I'm just coming back to a slogan that Ma Bell had in those days, and the slogan was, "Find it fast in the yellow pages." Find it fast in the yellow pages. They wanted you to use those yellow pages. Yeah, you walk with your fingers. Thank you, John. You're reminding me of all these things. And yes, you let your fingers do the walking through the yellow pages and things like this. So we are not suggesting that you'll find it fast in the Gospel of John, but you'll find it all there. All the great truths of the Word of God are to be found in this little segment of the Word of God. Now, this is an example of what we talked about last week, when we were talking about Lois and Eunice, and I remind you again of 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, where it used a phrase that in the New American Standard was, and to be honest, correctly translated, that these were the sacred writings. Not the same word that is used elsewhere, I mean just one verse later, for Scripture. This was a reference to portions of the Scripture. And, you know, the Gideon's International, they call this, which is a New Testament and Psalms, I think they refer to this as a Scripture portion to distinguish it from a complete Bible. Now, this has a lot in it, but this is not a complete Bible. And this Gospel of John that I have in my other hand, it's not a complete Bible either, but it is a Scripture portion. And so, this is what we are going to be using for this study, and we'll be here a while because there's so much in the Gospel of John. But we are going to discover that, at least in its elemental form, every great truth that we need is found in this gospel. We're talking about spiritual truth. I know many of you have heard all this before, but I want to remind you, especially because we have so many engineers and such in the audience, that if you want to know how to work with electricity, you're going to have to go to another book, because there's nothing here to tell you how to reset circuit breakers and things of this nature. And if you want to know how to repair appliances, that's another form of engineering. But if you want to know how to repair appliances, you're going to have to get another book, because there's nothing here about appliances. This is a book about spiritual truth. And so, John is, and this is our theme for today, John is the gospel of life. Now, I looked before the service this morning. I cannot find a copy from Source of Light. I may have some back here somewhere. But their premier, first ever type course is called Light from the Gospel of John. Light from the Gospel of John. It's a great course, a great one to start out with. It does take you through the Gospel of John, give you the highlights and the the issues involved, and there is a coupling between words in the Gospel of John. Light and life are joined together. And so are another pair of words, spirit and truth. Spirit and truth. Now, we'll talk more about those in just a moment. But before we get into our first issue here today, I want to say that one of the ways that we study the Bible, not the only way, but one of the prime ways, is to take a look at words. Count the words. How many times does a word occur in a particular book of the Bible? And you're going to discover, and I know you're not going to find this difficult to believe, but in the Gospel of John, the word believe, or some form of that word, believing, is by far the most common word. And so why are we not calling this study, especially today, the Gospel of Belief or the Gospel of Believing? Well, believing is not the end product. It's the means to the end. And that's what we see even in the key verse for this first point. The word believe or believing occurs twice in the verse. But that's not the end. That is not where we're headed. Life is where we are headed. Life is where we are headed. I maintain that this is the gospel of life. And you go to the verses that we have before us today and other great verses. You find life in both of these verses and where? The verse everyone knows, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him," there's that word again, "should not perish, but have everlasting life." Life. The goal is life. And so, John is the gospel of life. The plan is for life. And here we go to John 20 and verse 31. And again, some things I'd like to point out. We could stay here all day on this verse, but I do want to point this out to you, that these have been written. These have been written. The emphasis is on the written word of God. Now, do you say, or do we say, do I say, that until you have a copy of the Bible, you can't be saved? No, I'm not saying that. But somewhere it has to come back to the written word of God. How did you know when you were saved? How did you know that you had to put your trust in Christ in order to be saved? Well, you may not have been sitting there with a copy of the word of God in front of you. I wasn't the night I was saved, but I'd heard the message out of this book again and again. And somewhere along the line, somewhere, someone had to have the written word of God. But the point is that for your spiritual life, the written word of God is vital. It's vital. You have to have the written word of God. And that's why God has provided it. And why he's preserved it down through the ages, because, beloved, even in the Bible itself, you can read about, from time to time, those who tried to eradicate the Word of God. And guess what? They all failed. They died. They're gone. But this remains. And you could go through church history. After the Bible had been completed, and read about different ones down through church history who tried to eradicate the Bible. They did in the early centuries of the church. They did at the time of the Reformation, and continue to do so today. And so my point is that the written word of God is vital. These have been written so that you may know and What is it that he wants us to know? I'm sorry, I said no, but really it's so that you may believe. What is it that we need to believe? That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Now, this Gospel of John tells us about his substitutionary death and his bodily resurrection, and makes both of those things plain, and makes both truths so plain that you can't miss it if you've read the previous one or two chapters. But this is written down so that we may know, we've talked about the written word, so that we may know the incarnate word of God. John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, I mentioned counting words, and certainly believe is a major word. So is the word life, and so is the word light. And so, in the different sections of the book, first of all, here in our key verse, we have the emphasis on life. We also, in John 1 and verse 4, let me direct your attention there. And here in this fourth verse, notice the coupling of these two words. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The life was the light. Not the light was the life, but the life was the light. So again, you see the emphasis on not only the pairing of these two words, but the fact that it's the life of God that was the light of men. And then let me give you, since we are going to divide this book into three segments, let me give you a statement from the next segment of the book, and that is chapter 8 and verse 12. John 8 and verse 12. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. The light of life. So we're directed to the life every time. That is the goal, life. And in particular, life that will never end. The written word directs us to the incarnate word of God. And then, of course, I want to, before we leave chapter 20 and verse 31, I want to direct you again to this word, believe or believing. And even though I stumbled over this a minute ago, it's not knowing. I want to contrast this with knowing. These have been written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Not that you might know. Now, you've heard this from me numerous times before. I don't want to beat this to death, but I do want you to understand that yes, there are certain things about Jesus that you have to know in order to be saved, in order to have eternal life. You have to know that he is the Christ of God, the anointed one of God. You have to know that he is God the Son. And you have to know that he died in your place, and that it was his shed blood on Calvary's cross that paid the penalty for your sins. You have to know that he rose bodily from the dead, alive and in a tangible, real body following his death on the cross. And believing this, you have life in his name. And again, by comparing Scripture with Scripture, I direct you to 1 Corinthians 15, in particular verses 3 and 4 of that great epistle. So, do you have to believe? Absolutely. But believing is the means to the goal of eternal life. And that while you do have to know some things about Christ, you don't have... Is there anyone here who would honestly say, I know all that there is to know about Christ? None of us would have that temerity, least of all me. But the point is that, yes, there are some things we have to know, but you can know them and still not be saved. And there are many people down through these 30 years that I've been here that will tell you that they knew the truth about Christ, everything there was to know in order to be saved, but no one ever told them that they had to personally receive Christ as their Savior. They had to believe, trust, rely on Him alone to save them. And when they finally came to that realization, they trusted in Him and were saved as a result. And so, we invite you then to consider the pattern of this gospel, and that the pattern is for life. And that's John 14 and verse 6. And I submit to you that this is how you come to an understanding of the divisions of this book. Now, I'm not aware of anyone who divides the book this way, but it's how I divide it. And I'm one of my contentions often is that oftentimes in a book of the Bible, whether it's a gospel or whether it's an epistle or sometimes in the Old Testament, the proper division of the book so that we can understand the pattern is right there in the book itself. The book of Ephesians is certainly this way, in my opinion, and so is the Gospel of John. So, John 14, 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. And one of the reasons I'm staying with the New American Standard is because they keep the conjunctions between the words. Some of these are good translations, but they drop the conjunctions. And I think every word in the original language is important. So, the way, that's the first four chapters. Why those? Well, because what we're aiming at is the way to have eternal life. The way to have eternal life. And Jesus Christ is the only way that we can have eternal life. Again, John 3:16, part of this section, and it tells us that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. By the way, that word perish is a serious word. It means, if you go to the Greek, it means to burn something down to the ground, to reduce it to ashes. And so when it talks about perishing, it's talking about the ultimate doom of those who do not receive Christ as their Savior. But Jesus Christ came to offer everlasting life to everyone who will accept Him as the substitute for their sin. Their sins will be forgiven forever because of His shed blood, and they'll receive His gift of everlasting life. So, we have here in the first four chapters the way to have life. And by the way, these are great chapters on evangelism. I would submit to you that while we have other information elsewhere in the Bible that will be more specific in certain areas, Nevertheless, you have everything you need right here to know how to evangelize the lost. Can I give you one more verse from this section, and then we'll move on? I think this is one of the greatest verses in the entire Bible, John 4:24. And in one respect, this is truth that is incidental to the main point of that chapter. But Jesus says to the woman at the well, God is spirit, and those that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. John 4:24. Those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And there's our first coupling of those two words, spirit and truth. Now, I mentioned earlier John 1:14, grace and truth, and you know me, I'm always looking for grace, but you know you're not going to find that word anywhere else in John's Gospel after chapter 1. You won't find the word. You find grace all through the Gospel, but you're not going to find the word grace after you get out of the first half of chapter 1. So, our emphasis here is on spirit and truth. Those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And that brings us to our next division of the book, and the largest of the divisions, the truth. Now, I pause here to point out, if we're counting words and their use, after words like belief and life, The term that is used more than any other in the Gospel of John is the word truth. Truth. And we live in a day when many people, even some that claim to be Christians, deny that there is such a thing as truth, or if it exists, it's not possible for dummies like us to recognize it. But God says that there is truth, and you can find it, and it's found in the Bible, and it is a major, major issue in the Gospel of John. In fact, using the King James as the study reference, there are no other two books together in the New Testament that uses the word truth more often than the Gospel of John. You have to combine two, and you still come up a little short of the next most important book is the book of Romans. You find truth a lot in the book of Romans, but it's very hard to find two that you can put together that come up to the number of times this word is used in John's Gospel. And this segment is, as I said earlier, the largest segment of the book, chapters 5 through 17. Chapters 5 through 17. Now, I said we were going to try to find the coupling of these two words, spirit and truth, in each section of this book of John, and many places we could turn here, but let me direct your attention to verse 17 of chapter 14 of John's Gospel. This is, by the way, the verses 16 and 17 are probably the two most important verses in John's Gospel, perhaps in the New Testament, concerning the truth concerning the Holy Spirit. And let me read verse 16 for you. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper or comforter, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. And so here are two verses that are foundational to our understanding of the work of the Holy Spirit, and in particular, the relationship that he has with the truth. You and I cannot even recognize the truth unless the Holy Spirit enlightens us from the Word of God. And here we go again. We're back to the written revelation. Well, that's chapters 5 through 17. And then the third division is the life. I am the way and the truth and the life. Chapters 18 through 21. And in that regard, we're almost at the end of the book, and in chapter 18 and verse 37, we have the last appearance of this word truth, and it's spoken by an unsaved man named Pontius Pilate. And in verse 37, well, of course, Jesus and Pilate are conversing in the praetorium. Jesus says to him that everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And so Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And with that, he dismisses the whole issue. What is truth? And that's the issue, the question that continues to be asked today. I've already indicated the controversies that we have in this day. And so the question continues to be asked, what is truth? This is truth. The Bible is truth. And any portion of it is truth. From Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:21, it is truth. You can rely upon this book. But, once again, we have before us a wonderful opportunity to discover how just this portion of the Bible, the Gospel of John, will give us everything we need to know for spiritual life. Have you received Christ as your Savior? Ask that question. If not, today is your opportunity. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do want to give thanks to you for this time together as we have considered the great truths of God's Word, that you can find it all in the Gospel of John, and that the Gospel of John is the Gospel of life. And while there are many people today who even possess in a portion, a New Testament, a whole, an entire Bible, this Gospel of John, they have never read it. And Father, I have on the radio broadcast often challenged people to read just the first four chapters. To read those chapters, you'll know how to come to Christ as your Savior. And so, our Father, we give you praise and thanks for this time today. And may we go forth from here proclaiming the light and life that is only to be found in Christ. Amen.